call the Senate Tax Committee to order. Senator Lori, Senator Bach has a commitment away from the Capitol. Would you mind if you would go first? Thank you, Senator Lori. It'll be quick. Senator Bach, Senate File 1850. And members, we do not have a quorum yet, so we will not be moving on the minutes, but we'll wait till we have a quorum. Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Council has an amendment that just inserts some additional language, some clarifying language.
Members, I think the amendment is in your packet, and I'm looking to see what the number of it is.
It's
an A1 amendment. Senator Bach, this is an author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, this was a provision in last year's tax bill where we took some money from the taconite tax and distributed it directly to cities for public infrastructure projects, and it's indicated in cents per ton that went to cities. And in the case of the city of Cook, on line 2.12 and 2.15, we funded, 2.12 and 2.14, we funded two different projects for the city of Cook. One was a water line, the other was street improvements, business park infrastructure. The city, as it turns out, the waterline project is completed, so they would like that 0.5 cents just moved up to line 2.12. So there's no additional cost, no additional money, just that they're consolidating all the money to the street improvements, business park, and maintenance garage. So it just cancels the half a penny that went to the waterline, moves it up to those other projects on line 2.12.
Okay, thank you, Senator Bach. Questions, members? And Senator Bach, we'll have to readopt the amendment afterwards because we do not have a quorum.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't know if it's in your packet, but there's a letter from the city requesting this change. So.
Anything else, members? Chair will lay Senate File Number 1850 over for an amendment and possible inclusion. Senator Lori.
Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Welcome to the Tax Committee, Senator Lori.
This is good. We got Senate File 1687.
Senator Lori.
Okay, well, this is a bill to grant levy authority to the Carlton County Soil and Water Conservation District. It restricts that authority so that any proceeds from the tax imposed would only be used to pay for costs of obtaining a loan from the USDA to finance the planning, construction, and equipment of an office and storage facility in the district. The estimated cost is about $2 million. We have, I believe, in your packets, estimates from of the tax burden that would be on homeowners. It's about $2.44 per $100,000 of value. We have letters of support from and resolutions passed from the Carlton County Board trying to accomplish this. This is a very needed project that has been difficult to get off the ground. Really, what we're trying to do is just be able to get the ability to secure a loan to build the facilities that are needed. With me, I have Jim Ninus and Mark Thell from the Soil and Water Conservation District to help explain the project and the need for it and answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Senator Lori. Welcome to the Tax Committee. Mr. Thiel?
Thell.
Thell? Mr. Thell.
I'll let Jim. Senator Skoy, or Chairman Skoy, and committee members, I think I'll start that out, Jim Ninus. I've been the individual from the Soil and Water District that has been working jointly with the University of Minnesota Extension Service, the Carlton County Economic Development Authority, and, of course, our local Soil and Water Board to try and get this project off the ground. We started on this thing in mid-2011, and we've done a lot of looking around to see whether we could purchase a building, and found that wasn't available to us. And so we started meeting with the U.S. Department of Ag and looking at their community facilities loan program early in the year of 2012. That loan program is a four-part application. We submitted Part A to the USDA and had that first part approved on June 1st of 2012. So we met all the requirements of Part A. Part B, when we start getting into the financial ability for the Soil and Water District to repay that loan, is where we started to run into some problems. USDA wasn't exactly certain that Carlton County Soil and Water District did not have levy authority. For some reason, they felt because we have an elected board that governs that organization, that we had a levy authority available to us. And so they questioned us on our ability to repay that loan, and they suggested that we work with the Carlton County Board of Commissioners and see whether or not they would be willing to co-sign that loan for us, because they have the levy authority to repay for that. The Carlton County Board of Commissioners did pass a resolution, and I think that's in your packet. They passed that resolution on September 23rd. They indicated support for the project. They indicated that they would be willing to co-sign that loan. And we faxed that information off to USDA. That met the local office's requirement, and they shipped it up the line. And when it hit the Chicago office said no. They said that the owner of the building must have the levy authority to take and repay that loan, or else we're simply going to be out of luck. And so after all this time and energy that we've spent on this project, it comes down to us being able to convince you folks that this is a good project and that we are worthy enough to take and be granted that levy authority so we can go ahead and put up a building that is going to serve the needs of the Extension Service, the Economic Development Office, and the Soil and Water Office. The Carlton County Board of Commissioners has already indicated by resolution that they intend to provide us with property to build this building at no cost. And so they're providing us with about $100,000 worth of land to construct this building, parking, and to store our necessary equipment on it. The only thing they've asked us to do is when we construct this building that we build it in such a fashion that it would blend in with the other county offices that are located within that property. And so we plan on putting up a wood structure that is faced with either brick or stone, and that way we will blend in with the rest of those buildings out there. And so we're really at the mercy of you folks, because if we don't get this levy authority, we're done. We're at the end of the line. There's no place else to go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And now, Mr. Thell?
Yes, I'd just like to thank you, Mr. Chair, for letting us hear our voices. We have...
Mr. Thell, would you state your name for the tape, please? We need to put your voice with your name.
I'm Mark Thell, 5th District Supervisor from Carlton County.
Thank you very much.
We have existing space that we lease. It's okay for now, but we really want to grow the district. We keep on having more staff requirements. We currently have 4 full-time staff, 2 part-time staff. We also, because Carlton County does not exist in a USDA facility, where our 4 districts, Carlton, South St. Louis, Lake, and Cook, share NRCS staff. And so that staff is housed in the City of Duluth, and they They do their work in Carleton County, so they also use our facility while they're there, which is a little bit different than what you encounter across a lot of the state. That's what one of the needs of for our district. And the other thing that is going to be beneficial with this project is we hope to, because we'll have enough land on that county site there, to do some demonstration plots where we can, people come into the district, we can take them out and show them how this is a plot where you can walk in and see how bud capping is done too. So that their tree plantings and things that they do, we won't get a lot of agricultural plots on a small acre, but this venue that we work a lot with forestry, we can have that site right on the land that they can see what how to do these practices.
Thank you. To either one of the testifiers, why, if it's on the county campus and there's other functions from the county, I think I heard you say economic development and extension, why would the county build the building and get the grant and rent the space to the Soil Water Conservation District?
Chairman Scoy, that's an excellent question. And early on when we first started in this process, we met with the county board and we talked about their plans to remodel and revamp their current courthouse system. And it's a huge project that they're already looking at, and they had started on that, and Soil and Water Extension and Economic Development were not part of that. They're looking at their current building being turned over to the court system entirely. They're also looking at building a whole new county complex, which would house the auditor, treasurer, the assessor, and all of the other functions that that are in the current courthouse. And because they're already started on that, they didn't want to include those three other entities. They wanted to continue down the path that they were on, and they wanted us to take and look at doing our own building. They're actually looking at a project that it's a huge project. If they do the remodel to the courthouse plus the new office buildings, they're looking at $15 to $20 million. And they didn't want to add us into that mix. We met with them and we talked with them for hours. But what they did say they would do is they would provide us the property. If they could help by co-signing the loan, they'd do that. But they did not want to expand what they were looking at any further than they already are.
Well, but they could, and the levy would be the same impact on the county residents.
It would be the same, but it would be part of their levy limits. And if we go this route, it would be outside of their levy limits.
Okay. Anything else? Any questions, members? Anything else, Senator Laurie?
Appreciate your consideration.
We will continue to visit about this. I've always been pretty strongly supportive of the Soil Water Conservation Districts. I was our county board representative on the Clearwater County Soil Water Conservation Districts when I was on the county commission. Understand the really good work that they do, but I do have concerns about this levy expansion. And so we'll have to see if there aren't some other options that might get the job done for you guys, but not have this expansion. Seeing nothing else, thank you very much. We will lay Senate File 1687 over for possible inclusion. Thank you, Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And members, we do have a quorum now. So first, Senator Bach would move the A1 amendment to Senate File 1850 that we heard earlier.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. And members, if you would take a minute and review the minutes of the last meeting, which are in your packets. We are going to follow along with Senator Ress's process for reviewing the minutes and try to review them on a day meeting basis so we keep current. So if you've had a chance to take a look at it, if there was a motion to approve the February 26th minutes.
So moved.
Thank you, Senator Thompson. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Thank you. And Senator Saxhawk. Representative Solberg, good to see you again. Welcome to the Tax Committee, Senator Saxhawk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We're presenting Senate File 1702. Which amends language from a 2003 bill authorizing bonds to finance construction of a nursing home facility in Grand Rapids. This bill would amend that language by allowing Itasca County to issue general obligation bonds, saving the county approximately $1.3 million over the remaining life of the bonds. With me today, as you phrased, is former representative and Itasca County expert Lauren Solberg. And I'm going to ask him to give us some brief testimony.
Thank you, Senator Saxhawk. Welcome to the Tax Committee.
Mr. Chairman, Solberg. Lauren Solberg, representing Itasca County. The definition of an expert, you know, is if you're far away, you're an expert. So when I'm up there, I'm an expert down here. And I tell them that. When I'm down here, I'm an expert up there. But not when I'm located within the district. 2003, Itasca County owns the facility, but it's run by a nonprofit agency, and the county is not involved in the day-to-day administration of it, but it needed to be updated, and they asked at that time for a general obligation bond. The chair of the Tax Committee wanted a revenue bond, and they accepted that. The problem with a revenue bond, of course, is the interest rate you pay. Even though the revenue is paying off the bond and the taxpayers are not being held, it does make a difference in the amount of tax or interest rate that you pay on a revenue bond as opposed to a general obligation bond. So they have a request before us. They had a request a couple years ago. It got lost in the shuffle. And they want to be able to refinance those bonds and save about $1.3 million at the present time. I think it matures in, if I recall right, in 2033. And so the bond is a simple request.
Thank you, Mr. Solberg. Do you have any resolutions from the county on this? Or?
I have not a formal resolution from it, but it is part of their legislative priorities that they have met and have passed it as a legislative priority for them. If you want a formal resolution, I can get that to you as well, if you'd like.
Thank you. Any questions, members? Relatively straightforward moving. And was part of the reason that there was a requirement of the revenue bond was, did I read in the review that they were closing one nursing home and shifting some beds to the facility that was being remodeled?
Well, Mr. Chairman, they didn't close a nursing home. The hospital was closing some what they call CNNC swing beds, and they did not want them anymore. And so part of the remodeling that came on to the nursing home was a wing that is for a rehabilitation wing and so forth. And it was a mutual agreement with the hospital that was building a new hospital at the same time for that facility to be located in this particular facility at the Grand Itasca Nursing Home. So it was mutually agreed upon. It was also the wish of the chair of the committee at the time not to have a general obligation bond, and so they took his suggestion and went to a revenue bond. But again, it is an opportunity to save money in the long run as you look at that interest rate.
Thank you. Anything else, members? Seeing nothing, thank you, Senator Saxhawk. Good to see you again, Lauren. Chair will lay over Senate File 1702 for possible inclusion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thanks, members.
Senator Weber. Welcome to the Tax Committee, Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, pleasure to be here this morning to bring to you Senate file number 1888. And essentially what this is asking for an amendment, Minnesota Statutes 2012, Section 298.75, Subdivision 2, whereby we are essentially, if you go to the back page and look at Section E, we are removing the sentence, this paragraph expires December 31st, 2014, thereby granting a permanent exemption to Rock County for the reduced aggregate tax. And I have with me County Engineer Mark Sayre, who is willing to discuss this further with you and give you some information concerning this.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome to the Tax Committee, Mr. Sayre.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark Sayre, Rock County Highway Engineer. We're supporting this amendment because of our location. We have Minnehaha County, South Dakota to the west, Lyon County, Iowa to the south, and we have Nobles County to the east, Murray County to the northeast, and Pipestone County to the north, all of which have aggregate producers. Our board, after discussions with the townships and our 10 aggregate producers, felt that raising the or imposing the tax at the higher level would impose an economic disadvantage to our producers because 35 to 40% of our aggregate does go out of county. So that's why we requested before to do it at the lower rate, and that's basically why we're back here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions, members?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to clarify, so apparently at the current time it's 10 cents per cubic yard or $7 a ton, and this would then allow you to take it to 21 cents and $15 a ton.
No.
Is that right, essentially?
No, Senator.
Other way around?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, basically this would allow us to keep the current aggregate tax at that lower level.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And Senator Senjum, I think, Mr. Silva, would you give us a little history on this so it's, I mean, I have a feel for it, but there was a change made in 2008, and let's have the Senate Council walk through what that history is.
Mr. Chair and Senator Senjum, all counties that are currently imposing the tax, with the exception of Rock County, are required to impose the tax at the 21.5 cents per cubic yard or 15 cents per ton. Rock County, as I mentioned, is the only county that right now qualifies for the reduced rate of the 10 cents per cubic yard or 7 cents per ton. In 2008, the rates for all counties were the 10 cents per cubic yard or 7 cents per tons. In 2008, they were raised to the current 21.5 and 15 cents, but Rock County is the only one that was able to keep the reduced rate, and the bill before us would allow them to continue to do that. The expiration date for specifically Rock County would be expiring at the end of 2014. If the bill were not to pass, then they then would be required to charge what all the counties are required to charge, and that's the 21.5 and 15 cents.
And Mr. Silva, my recollection of this is that when the rate was raised in 2008, there were actually some counties that did not impose the gravel tax because they did not want to go to the higher rate. Do you have that in your information there, if there were some counties that backed off from this?
Mr. Chair, I don't have the specific counties. I do know that in there's some history here, but in 2001, the general law change allowed any county to impose the tax. Prior to that, the counties would be required to come forward to the legislature to receive county approval. I know since then there's some special legislation that also requires or allows towns to impose the tax if the counties themselves chose not to impose the tax, but that also requires special legislation.
Thank you. And Senator Weber, I don't know if you're interested in this or not, but this aggregate tax was part of our discussion last year with regard to sand. And I know a number of counties came to me wondering if there was an opportunity to have a little more flexibility in the tax rate. So maybe we'll take a little look at if we could broaden this out or not. And I'll contact the Association of Minnesota Counties and see what they think about that. But I think Rock County is using their tax wisely, and I'm sure, but I think a little flexibility for other counties might be in order. Anything else, members?
No.
So we'll lay this over. If that's okay, we'll be in contact with you and see if we can do a little work to make this a little broader than just for Rock County.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Weber. Chair will lay over Senate File 1888 for possible inclusion. And
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry.
Chair, so you can ask a question.
That's what you get.
The squeaky wheel.
Let's see.
Okay, we have Senate File 1909, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I am here with a electrical generation personal property tax bill in Wilton Solway area of Beltrami County. There is a peaking plant that was built in the mid-2000s. They were looking to expand it in the 2009 to 2014 time frame because the economic downturn, the electrical usage, it didn't occur during that time frame, so we are asking you to consider extending that personal property tax exemption to this facility, because it looks like with the utilization now, it will be time to move forward on that electrical generation plant. And the history of this is that in the last 10, 12 years, these facilities have been receiving this personal property tax break in Minnesota. And I'm here with Mr. Lotteg from the utility to help me answer any questions.
Any questions of either Senator Skoy or the witness? Senator Nelson. Senator Skoy?
Senator Nelson, maybe I'll let Mr. Lotteg have the detailed answer. I think it had to do with the economic downturn and electrical usage is down in the area, but if that's not correct, maybe Mr. Lotteg.
To the witness.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, Senator Skoy is essentially right. The economic downturn has affected overall electrical demands in the region. We do live in a very large pool, in terms of the MISO pool, it's called. And as it's identified in line 1.16, this is a normal part of every utility's integrated resource plan that we file with the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. We redo our resource plan every other year. And when we do that, we model what's needed and what's not needed and what area is it needed. And MISO figures out where does it want what unit and when does it need it. So it's not just our own electrical needs, but it's the needs of the region as well. And so the contingencies are that we may or may not need this unit still in the next 5 years. We want to retain the exemption in case we do need this, in case MISO says we need you to build this.
Anyone else?
Get your name for the
table. Anyone else?
For the record, I'm Lauren Lotteg with Otter Tail Power Company in Fergus Falls.
Okay. Anyone else on Senate File 1909?
Mr. Chair, if you would lay Senate File 1909 over for possible inclusion and then come back to me for announcements.
Okay, we're going to, per the Chair's instruction, lay Senate File 1909 over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. We will be meeting on Thursday to do the department's technical and policy bills and tax confirmations.
I would like you to pay attention to the messages from Committee Administrator Donovan Heard. We might be meeting on Monday. We're taking a look as to whether we can get the conformity bill that we are introducing to the committee by then to have a hearing on Monday. So we will be sending announcements out hopefully Thursday when we see the progress of that bill.
Okay. Further questions of the chair?
Not adjourned.
Not Senator Scoy, the meeting stands adjourned.